Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Mike Johnson will join us here in just a few moments. We'll get into Brad Marchand's comments from earlier today. Touch on the Montreal Canadiens and their pursuit of a new GM. Would Johnny see a fit with Patrick Waugh as the GM? How would he feel about that idea? And the Leafs off today. Colorado in town. They're back in action tomorrow night. So Nazem Kadri making his return. Nathan MacKinnon is back tomorrow night.
That's a good one to get to if you can ever get to that game.
Tomorrow night? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. The one time they're in town, Colorado's a really good team. Fun team. A lot of high-end talent. MacKinnon being back.
You know what I'd like to watch live is that Makar. Mm-hmm. Like, he is serious from the back end. Like, I think he's won third star in the NHL 2 weeks in a row. Like, he's coming on. Like, I think if you followed Colorado early in the season, Makar was injured, MacKinnon was injured, they have COVID, like, Randa was out. Like, it's just been a gong show there. I mean, and they've found a way to get into a groove. The goaltender's starting to stop some pucks. He's starting to settle in. But I was looking at, like, the NHL fantasy rankings. I think Colorado has, like, four defensemen in the top 50. Because that Bowen Byram's a really good player. Yeah. And
that's Gerard, why it's a game to go wild. They got really talented players.
Both teams are really good. It's a high end game. High end
Cup
stars.
Final preview. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're throwing out?
No, I'm not going that far.
Cup final preview.
I'm not going that far. We need one team to win rounds, and the other team has to. Same thing.
Colorado's
with Colorado.
The same boat. Colorado chokes out in the playoffs all the time too.
Yeah. There's a bunch of teams, Hazy, that choke out, and the only place it's brought up is Toronto. Well, like, the Edmonton Oilers got dummied in the first round? Mm-hmm. Didn't they get dummied by the Winnipeg
Jets? They got
swept
by Winnipeg,
They got swept by the Winnipeg. It's like, it's not even talked about. It's just chokers in Toronto. It's all it's ever talked about.
McDavid's won. They've won round. They won a couple rounds in Edmonton there.
They went to a cup final in 06. Like, there's
Wow, it's 2021.
Yeah, 1967, the last time this team.
Okay, but my point is, there's teams with expectations that just don't get it done. But all everyone seems to focus on is what happens in this town.
I think it's, you know why? It might be the way it goes down, too. That, you know, you look at it, like, they're up 3-1 against Montreal. They ended up against Columbus the year before. I think we just all thought
it was ugly, Noodles. I'll agree with that. But the two best players got swept by the Winnipeg Jets, who then got dummied by the Montreal Canadiens. So what the hell happened there?
Well, those games at least went to overtime. Like, they were, you know, they were.
Oh, listen, I would have the same reaction if I was in Edmonton. I can't speak to what they're saying. And I don't think you're accurate in suggesting that no one in Edmonton is holding that against this team. They should be. You know, the Oilers should absolutely have expectations to win, but also uncertainty as to whether or not they're going to be able to do it in the playoffs, because the year before in the bubble, Chicago got them, right? Like, the Leafs and the Oilers in the last 2 years, very similar situation. Clearly the better team. Leafs clearly better against Columbus, lost. Edmonton clearly better against Chicago, lost. Edmonton better than Winnipeg, in my opinion, last year, lost. Leafs better than Montreal last year, lost. So the last 2 years, very similar. And they're both off the great starts. They're both going to make the playoffs, and they're both going to have high expectations. But they're going to play good teams, and we'll see what they're made of. Right. You know, I think, you know, you can compare and contrast every team, every market, every city. I think it's different here because of the longevity, because of the history, because of quite literally no playoff success for 17 years, which is a long, long time. But, you know, I think the Leafs are in a position maybe similarly to the one that we saw Washington, you know, 5 years ago, where, remember, before they broke through, it was really loud in that market that they choked, that they can't get it done. They'll run into Pittsburgh and find a way to lose. And eventually they broke through. They went on a run. I think it was the next year. They beat Vegas in a cup final. And all of a sudden everything quiets down. And the Leafs are capable of doing that. You know, they can quiet all of that down, but they've got to win.
Winning calms that all down.
Of course,
the other thing you can add to that, Hayes, is – there was the head-to-head argument about Crosby or Ovechkin. Crosby had won, and people are like, you'll never win with Ovechkin. You'll never win. I mean, you take a look at it. If you go back into their careers, I know Crosby's very decorated. Well, Ovi's right there, too. I mean, you know, it's a coin flip of who you prefer. And it just, you got to look at the whole body of work, just not the first 9 or 10 years.
And that's the truth. Like we were talking about yesterday with Chris Johnston, this idea that I think that conversation, that debate has come alive again. The idea that Ovechkin, maybe when all is said and done, you can look at it and say, had a better career. You know, you're going to pick your poison on which player you like more, but who had the better career? It still might be up for grabs.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. Could you see that being the case, Johnny? In 5-6 years, you look back and say, you know what? Ovechkin may have had a better career than Sidney Crosby.
Of course you could. But I think two things will have to happen for that to have a conversation. He's going to have to break Gretzky's record, and I think he probably has to win the Olympics. Because what everyone will hang their hat on is that Sid won more. Right? Because, you know, he won't have scored as many goals, but he'll have more points per game. He'll have more Stanley Cups, very likely. I don't think Washington may win again, but to win two more would be tough. And then internationally, of course, Canada has been better than Russia. Sid's teams have been better than Ovi's teams. And people will use that to compare the two of them, which is not necessarily fair, but they will. But, and if you look at Russia's team in this upcoming Olympics that they're able to play, I mean, they are every bit as good as anybody, including Canada. And so if that happens, yeah, you can make that. Like, what's the most decorated record in the game? Most goals. I mean, if he scores 900 goals.
Yeah. That's,
I mean,
tough
18
to argue
years
against.
Of 50. What are we talking about? It's insane that he's even really thinking about it.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. And it's seeming like more and more of a reality day in, day out. You know, I think the hardware could be there, too. I mean, the heart, the rockets, the cup is not in his control. The gold medal isn't necessarily in his control, but it factors into the overall conversation. We were talking about Brad Marchand. Why don't we play this clip? Because I think the Artemi Panarin scene, when we saw it, we were goofing on Panarin. We're like, who throws a glove at a guy? Mm-hmm. Like, who throws a glove?
Ridiculous.
It was goofy. And now we have some context in terms of what Marchand was saying to him. This is what Brad Marchand had to say earlier today about his back and forth with Artemi Panarin.
I said that no one in Russia likes him. So if that is now what is setting guys over the edge, then this is the softest league in the world. And no one should be allowed to say anything because there's a lot worse things said out there than that. So if that's what he's crying about, then it is what it is.
What do you make of that, Johnny?
Well, okay, so this is quite an involved answer, but do you guys remember last year when Artemi Panarin's story broke out of Russia that he had assaulted a woman in some capacity, and he's been a critic of the government there, and there's lots more than just saying nobody likes you, right? There is like a legitimate, he took a leave of absence to deal with the fallout of this and pressure on his family. Like, it's not just, hey, Mike, nobody likes you, you're a loser. Okay, like, whatever. It's different. It'd be like if, you know, the equivalent would be if the Canadian government planted a story about Brad Marchand beating up a woman 2 years ago as a teenager. Like it would, you know, there's more to it than just. And I don't know if.
If you just break it down as a comment, like no one in Russia likes you. It's like, get serious, man.
I think Marchand knows.
Well,
I gotta tell you.
Yeah, and I think that's where Marchand's coming from. Like, whatever, nobody in Russia likes him. Ah, it's not a big deal. But I think why he reacted so strongly is because there's a lot more to that statement, that insult, that chirp, than just whatever, nobody likes you. And so, like, I could see the reaction because, you know, he probably feels pretty sensitive. Like, it's a pretty raw and important subject for him. And I could see a reaction there. And I don't know if Marchand would know and understand the entire backstory.
Well, I guess
if he did.
You're right. And even if Marchand knew what he was doing, he hit a nerve there. But what's the line? Because, I mean, if I Google Brad Marchand right now, what video comes up? There's some, like, little Czech Republic guy who's, like, 2 feet tall who fights people with a big nose, right? Have you seen that little guy?
Yes, I've seen that guy. Yeah.
I mean, how many times? So if Brad Marchand was very sensitive to – the size of his nose or his stature. I mean, what's the line? To me, this is where I think it gets muddled, because if I understand slurs and racial, all of that type of stuff, that is off limits and it should be, and that's not even a question. But what is the line saying, hey, nobody in your country likes you? And, like, I understand there's a backstory. Well, the backstory, Brad Marchand could be sensitive to him being smaller in stature or having a giant nose. Like, I just, what is the line? That's
well,
my
that's,
question.
Well, it's arbitrary. There is no definition on it. I mean, we have defined a couple of things to your point. Homophobic slurs not allowed. Racial slurs not allowed. But this is, you know, about his nationality. It is about his history. And I believe, and this is me just reading the tea leaves, Brad Marchand is downplaying it because I think he knows exactly what he was saying. I think it's such a mundane, stupid tweet, chirp, that a guy with a history of chirping would never say it. He'd be embarrassed to say it if he didn't know it was gonna land.
Beneath
he knew
quality.
It was going to land. Yeah. He knows Panarin is sensitive to it and is probably thinking, I can't go home, or if I do go home, my life has been turned upside down.
Right.
And that's the point of it. Marchand knew exactly why. Because if I said to you, Noodles, no one in St. Albert likes you, you'd be like, shut up, you're such a loser. How would you know that? You know, or no one in Halifax loves you, Brad Marchand. You wouldn't even think twice about it. But the Russian Panarin angle, because there's history, Marchand knew exactly what he was doing.
I believe
he knew exactly that it was going to land. And but now he's trying to downplay it and be like, oh, it's soft, this, that, or the other. You know, Russia's a different beast, man.
And my question is that offside, though?
I'm not saying it's offside in terms of fines or suspensions.
Right?
But
because if it was Hayes, he'd be suspended, right? Like, they would have said, they would have done something. The league would have reacted. I guess you could argue it's insensitive. Right. And maybe, like, that's a line that players don't want to cross because, like, you know, can you make fun of someone's wife? Can you make fun of someone's kids? Can you make...
But, Mike, I think Noodle's point is, if this is the case, then everyone can take any comment down a road that becomes offensive. Oh, you're a fat pig. Oh, I used to have a pig farm where the pigs got whatever, and I'm sensitive to pigs. It's like you could take any comment and say I'm sensitive to that, and you could take it down any road.
You're right.
But that road is way shorter for Panarin, whose life like might literally have been in danger about this, than you and your pig farm. So, like, I understand, like, are people too hypersensitive? And Panarin's not asking for him to be suspended. He's just like, I didn't like it. I threw a glove at him. Okay, so, like, I think it can all move on. It's obviously a gray area there. It's not the same as the obvious lines that guys don't cross. It's in the area where, you know, it's some sort of, like, nationality-based one, but it's not specifically about him. So it's tricky, but it was an effective jerk move, but that's the whole point of it. It was like a dirtball comment, and that's the whole point of it.
Right.
And I guess maybe I wasn't giving him enough credit, Hayes, if you think he knew what he was doing, and I would have thought maybe he wasn't so well read in on the situation. He's just like, whatever, there's something going on in Russia, I'll give it to him because he didn't play for the national team.
I think it's such, again, a mundane kind of lame chirp that you have to know it's going to land. Like, I would expect more from Marchand, who chirps with the best of them.
I guess
that's what I'm saying. It's an effective chirp. I think Marchand pulled it off beautifully. Panarin, you know, if he's sensitive to it, that's on him. And clearly he was. I guess what I'm saying also is I'm not surprised Panarin was. You know, I don't look at this as, oh, he's so soft. I think it's really deeply rooted, man. Like,
exactly. And maybe that's the answer, though, like Noodles. Maybe that's the conversation. Like, it's not completely offside where, you know, Brad Marchand should be suspended for this. And it's not, oh, look how soft Panarin is. Anyone could be offended by anything. Like, this rings way truer and closer to home than a normal comment about me being from Scarborough or going to college or whatever you might want to say to me.
Right.
And maybe that's it. And maybe that's just how it's left.
I agree with you, Hayes. Like, thinking about it, like, these guys know. I mean, they're well-versed in the league. He might have known that he was hitting a nerve. I remember Alex Burrows admitting that he used to read articles on other teams and that to get underneath the skin of players. And, you know, if it hit a nerve as to, you know, a guy struggling or a guy hadn't scored in this, like, these chirpers, these guys know because they're well-schooled in. And this one landed, you're right. And if you take a step back just from the humanity standpoint, we all know you know, Panarin's challenge. So I could see where it hit a nerve. But I guess my point is like, where is the line? Because there are people that probably take exception. A guy like Marchand, if he was like, hey, I like my nose, but you know what? He's got, like, you know what I mean? All I'm saying, it's kind of funny because all I see of little memes when Marchand comes up is that little guy in the Czech Republic fighting. And I think it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
How do you know that guy's in the Czech Republic?
I've seen that. Feels Albanian to me.
Okay, sorry, about Albanian. But
yeah, come on,
Eastern
let's
Europe.
Clarify these
things. I should.
Details,
but my point is, like, I think it's funny, and I think Brad Marchand would think it was funny. This one isn't funny because it hit a particular nerve for Panarin, but what is the line? That's my whole question, right?
Yeah, and that's I don't have that answer for you. And
right.
Am I surprised that Panarin reacted the way he did? Yes, I am. I'm not, but I can't put myself in his shoes based on his relationship with Russia and his country and how complicated things can be over there and how dangerous they can be at times.
Exactly.
And I do believe I have enough respect for Marchand as a chirper to believe that this would be a chirp he wouldn't just throw out without kind of knowing this one's probably going to hurt. You know, this one might sting, and that's why I'm going to go there.
And on some level, we've all heard a lot of stuff on the ice, right? On some level, like choosing not to react, even though it maybe does hit home, is sometimes the better play because then it's not going to be repeated. Like when you get this reaction, now it's out there, and if you want to maybe, you know, get in his ear and say something that might bother him in a playoff series, if this is not going to be a suspendable thing and you're okay with doing it, you don't have a problem on the moral scale, which that's a different conversation, then like now people know that one hits home. And it should, though. Like I think it's a different animal over there who knows what's going on in his family. You could see why he would react. I don't consider him soft for like reacting strongly for this.
No.
Johnny, do you have any case for Patrick Waugh being the GM of the Montreal Canadiens?
Well, as a media member, I can make a great case for him. But I mean, I think the case is he would be a figurehead. I think he would resonate with the fans and the history and the organization, the experience there. That's the case. I can't make a case. Now, I'm not saying he's not proficient as a GM, but I can't say because what I saw when he won Coach of the Year one time when his goalie won the Vezina in Colorado, and because he runs a successful organization in Quebec that always has the best kids with the most money and the best barn, that makes him qualified to be a GM. I can't say that. So you can make a case that he checks a lot of boxes, but I got to talk to him, and I got to understand – how does he see the game? How does he build a team? How would he build a front office around himself? And how would he work with, at the very least, a co-equal, if not a superior, in Jeff Gorton, before I could say, you know, he should be a prime candidate? Because I don't know that. I can't say that that's the case because I don't know his history. I don't know enough about him. He hasn't shown me enough at the NHL level to say, oh, yeah, he's got to figure it out.
Yeah, we had the conversation earlier. I mean, Jeff Gorton, it depends on what he's looking for. Is he wanting someone simply to relay his information, or is he looking for someone to be the face of the organization? Because if you bring in Patrick Waugh, that's what you're getting. You know, Patrick Waugh, I don't think he's just saying, why don't you write that down for me, Jeff, and I'll go out there and say it verbatim.
I don't think he would just want the name, period, Hayes. Yeah, like the name Patrick Waugh, any GM would know. A bump in the road, and a whole city's going to say, Patrick Waugh, take over and get Gorton out of there. It's just like, I think he would want this Darsh down in Tampa. It just seems like a lower profile and a lower kind of everything where he can just relay messages, and that's it. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're going to rebuild a little bit, and it's like, you know, Jeff Molson said that word, I'm not scared of that, and he talked about making changes. Does Patrick Waugh want to come in and be average to below average for 4 years? You know, is he not going to have the patience for that, the competitor that he is? I there's lots of stories about him in Colorado wanting this player and that player and demanding this trade and that trade because he was impatient. So we'll see. I mean, it is fascinating. I mean, I'm with you. Oh, I think Matthew Darsh is a very good candidate, if not the favorite. But, you know, to hear Danny Briere, my old roommate, as a candidate, he's been running the Philadelphia Flyers minor league organization, to hear Vinny Damfus, Patrick Waugh, you know, some fascinating names, at least that are kind of high-profile players that could be considered, which would be interesting.
So we got some news here in terms of a signing down in Jersey. Jack Hughes has signed an 8-year extension at $8 million per.
Yeah.
8x8. And, you know, he's the first overall pick a few years ago. He's been injured this year. His numbers are not spectacular, but he's a young kid with, you know, playing on a team that isn't exactly loaded. This feels like a gamble to me with Jersey, but they're banking on him being an $11, $12 million star. You better be if he's first overall, and that you're going to be paying him $8 million. You know, it's they're taking a gamble here. It's a long-term bet on a guy who hasn't done a ton early in his career.
Yeah, so he's still very young, so you're going to get him for the meat of his career, right? That's good. You like that. I know he hasn't scored a ton, but I know you guys will hate to hear this, but like his underlying number is very, very strong last year. Even though he didn't get a ton of points, a ton of goals, some of that's him, some of it's a team, but very strong. So I think they believe he's got elements to his game that are really good away from the puck, let alone the stuff that he can do with it. They're banking on a point a game guy for the rest of his career, and I think they're going to have that. I think he's really, really good so long as he can stay healthy. And I think the fact that he's been banged around a little bit early on in his career, and he's a slight guy and a smaller guy who does get hit on occasion because he gets in and around the puck, that would be the biggest concern for me. But I think 8 years from now, Hayes, you also got to think, yeah, the cap's flat for 3 or 4 years here, right? But presumably it's going to start going up again.
Johnny, you got to explain one thing to me, bud.
What's that?
7 goals, 14 assists, 11 goals, 20 assists. What the hell kind of underlying numbers could make somebody give him 8x8? Right,
well,
let's just break that down into meathead stuff like we are. We're meatheads, okay?
Brickhead.
21 points.
Brickhead.
Brickhead. We're three brickheads. 21 points, 31 points.
Well, I think, as far as his, scoring chances and his shots and his defensive ability, they're all very strong. His shooting percentage, when he was on the ice, which sometimes is a function of the talent of the guys you're playing with, was way unsustainably low. So, what do you have, 31 points last year in 50 games?
56,
So, half a point a game, roughly. I think they would anticipate this year he would have had 70 points, as that the talent, his experience, and the people around him get better. I think that's what they're gambling on. But I think the idea that he's just a point creator is a bit inaccurate. He's actually quite a good possession, solid two-way centerman. Even though he's a tiny guy and you don't see a whole bunch of them, you don't watch Jersey play because they haven't been very much fun to watch, I think that's the stuff they're seeing. And they better see a lot of it because those numbers are pretty pedestrian.
Well, let me throw in the other thing. And Hayes, you always talk about it. This is a team, New Jersey, they got to retain their talent. They just got their number one overall pick to sign an 8-year deal in New Jersey. Mm-hmm.
With Heischer signing as well.
Heischer
got Dougie Hamilton on term. This is a team that, thinks they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
New Jersey isn't the number one destination in the National Hockey League. I always talk about
as Edmonton, long as you Winnipeg. Know, Jamie, moving forward, that Nico Heischer and Jack Hughes are your guys going to war, and those are the guys that are going to get it done for you.
$15 million combined between the two of them.
Have fun with that.
Well, I understand.
And my Jack Hughes.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that marketplace, you might have to pay a little New Jersey tax there, too. So even if that's $7 million, it might be $1 million a year more just because, hey, this kid's made an 8-year commitment at 20 years old. Like, he just turned 20. Like, there's a long runway there. We'll see. The contract doesn't match what the production has been, but they believe it's going to when New Jersey turns a corner. That would be my take.
I think that's sensible. And listen, if he turns into a 70-point guy, two-way player, then he's worth every penny, if not a bargain. Especially if the cap goes up, for sure.
Yeah, what's the number one center worth 5 years from now? 12 or 13? I don't
probably,
know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Right, so eight, even if he's not a top 15 center in the league, if he's in the top 30, that's probably not terrible value if the cap is able to creep back up in a couple of years.
Right.
Where's Tristan Jarry on your rankings of Canadian goaltenders and pursuing the Olympics? Noodles, we haven't brought him up many times. I mean,
well, he's had
he's playing well.
Great run here, really. I mean, Johnny, you like him? I mean, I like him as a goalie, but there's still, to me, there's still much more consistency that's needed because he's playing like the Jarry that pushed out Matt Murray 2 years ago. But last year he was a disaster, and it happens for a young goaltender. But this year he looks really tight and really dialed in.
He's been so good lately, man.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the numbers are the numbers. I can't break down his game, but, I mean, his numbers are through the roof. He's had other good stretches. Like, he's made an all-star game once, didn't he, Noodles? Like, he had a great first half and then maybe struggled down the stretch. But what's interesting is that, like, I don't even know, was he on the initial list for Canada?
I don't think so.
Was he? Because, it's wide open. Like, I don't know who's going to play goalie for Canada. Like, if Carey Price, who knows? Marc-Andre Fleury, who knows? Mackenzie Blackwood, Tristan Jarry, like, who
Kemper.
Knows? Kemper, none of those guys are like slam dunks. You can't put Kemper on there, or you have to keep Jarry off because Kemper has to go. Like, those guys don't have that kind of resume. So, I guess if he's available, because I think if you're on the list, you're part of the drug testing for the next couple months, and have been. Because I think I read that Sweden has asked for an exemption to add Lucas Raymond to their top 50 players because he wasn't on it. So I'm curious if, you know, anyone has a great start, they got to be added in late. Maybe Jari's one of those guys.
This is not going to happen. But do you know whose numbers have been crazy this year and even last season? Is James Reimer. Crazy numbers. Just if you're looking just at the raw stats, and I know that hits a nerve for this market, but I mean,
Minister of Defense, no.
Seriously, it's funny because, you know, digging into them last week and seeing Reimer and all, like this guy is literally, at one point I think he was tied with Jack Campbell for the same save percentage and just a little less wins and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, he that was his first bad night of the year. But ultimately bounced right back, I think, 2 days later with a two-goal performance the next night. Like, he's played very well, but I don't even think he's in consideration.
No, and maybe
but if you're just going strictly
group,
on numbers, right?
Right.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I will admit my bias here. I have Jarry in my fantasy pool, and I'm like, man, this guy every single night. Like, last night against Calgary, he was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying he'd start or even be a guy that would dress, but do you talk about maybe the third option on a team if other guys just aren't, you know, doing it for you? If Price is out of the running, you know, and you're looking at Fleury and Binnington as your 1-2, who's going to be your third goalie? I think it would be open to competition across the board.
And I think the need to take, like, a veteran good guy, Mike Smith, you know, third goalie, no. In that short tournament with the question marks they have, just take the hottest guy. Just take the hottest guy, and maybe he has to get in there, and he can ride that wave, and maybe he turns into whoever, you know, Manny Legacy of the World Juniors. Like, just stands on his head, even though he's not necessarily known to do that. It is going to be interesting though, because it is still pretty wide open, as is the Americans, because Demko and Hellebuck and Gibson, like, they've all been good, but, you know, Jack Campbell's been way better. So, you know, we'll see if they go on, you know, reputation or on performance.
Johnny, give an educated guess on where Jake DeBrusk ends up before we get you out of here.
I say he goes to Ottawa Ottawa, Detroit, one of the bad teams, you know, Buffalo. It's a team that can take a flyer, that has room and can eat a bit of that salary and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were saying. That makes sense. You can take on the deal. You can pay him. Maybe give him an extension even when you acquire him, you know, if that's even possible or close to it, and run with him. But we'll see. I mean, that's going to happen. You got to believe in the next few weeks anyway. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again later in the week.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Pre-orders are now available for all models, including the all-new 2022 Tundra and Corolla Cross. Visit MapleToyota.com. Tiger Woods speaking with the media today. We'll delve into some of the comments from Tiger. We'll get to some And the media, yes. There was some – I would say the ball got dropped a couple of different times. People are just a nervous wreck talking to Tiger.
Dude, like, he looked different. Like, he looked like something happened to his face.
He looks older. Like, he looks...
Dude, something happened to his face, and I don't know if it was the accident or what. But I know that he just feels awkward about the whole situation for one reason and one reason alone. When the stuff with his wife happened, all of a sudden Tiger Woods showed up, and guess what he was wearing that he'd never worn before? Sunglasses. And now it's like Tiger has to have sunglasses on. And I know the psychology. It's not just a guy wearing sunglasses. He feels bad about something, or I don't know what the hell it is. Just a little tidbit for you.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, interesting. Wow. I like it. Deep into the psychology
of
Tiger. So we'll come back. We'll get into that a little bit more. Maybe a little confirm or deny after dark still to come as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Overdrive has a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Tampa next Thursday, December 9th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this Maple Leaf has appeared in an AHL All-Star game, but not the NHL All-Star game. So this Maple Leaf has appeared in an American Hockey League All-Star game, but not the National Hockey League All-Star game.
Rasmus Sandin.
Jerry Sparks.
Jerry Sparks.
He's born in Sweden?
He could be.
Oh,
do you know that
you know
he's
what?
Not?
I forgot, hint I forgot yesterday? Sport. Yeah, I forgot the hint yesterday. No, it's not Jerry Sparks. He's from Chicago, I think. So it might be Rasmus Sandin.
Yeah, it could be. Was Sandin in the American Hockey League All-Star game? I don't know.
I don't either, dude.
Probably not.
So we don't know that. Maybe Jerry Sparks is from Stockholm. For all we know,
he's from Chicago.
There.
I'm pretty sure he's from Chicago. It's okay. Not Jerry Sparks. I just got excited.
Garrett Sparks.
Yes, Garrett Sparks.
Yes, Jerry Sparks. Yeah. He was a stud in the American Hockey League, man. He was.
Yeah, he won top goalie down there.
Absolutely. And then next thing you know, Curtis McElhinney's in Tampa.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So... Tiger had a comment today, which when I first heard it, I'm thinking hero comment. But actually, when you think about it, of course, totally appropriate and normal, because any other athlete would be able to say the same thing, especially when you're arguably the greatest player to ever play that sport. He was talking about back in 17 when he had his back fusion and how his game had fallen apart and he had to climb up Mount Everest and, you know, what he was shooting. Take this into consideration, the numbers he was putting up. And then all of a sudden it clicked for him, and this is what he had to say about that initial pursuit back up Mount Everest.
All of a sudden I would play at home and I would shoot scores, not the 77s and the 78s, and they were in the mid-60s without really trying. I'm like, okay, this is new. Let's see if we can push this a little bit further. So I came back here in 2017 and played in the hero event. And took full advantage of all the players in the field and their world ranking points.
Do you believe at any point this guy shot 78 or 79? Like, even with a wonky back in a cart? I doubt it. I don't believe that.
I think it's exaggerated, to be honest with you. I think it was probably 74 max.
Max. Right? Like,
yeah.
Max. Like, Tiger, I don't care what kind of shape he's in, at his course in Florida.
Where he's a plus 7. Plus 7.
Yes, exactly. And like the comment that originally kind of was a jab at every chop golfer was, and all of a sudden I'm shooting in the mid-60s and I'm not even trying. Like, it's sickening to hear that from a guy. Sickening. Yet it makes total sense. Like, of course.
So what were you more offended by, the fact that he said 77 or 65 without trying?
I think now that I put more thought into it, the high 70s, because I have shot in the high 70s and it took everything I possibly could. And for him to think, like, that's me embellishing, like puking all over a golf course is hurtful, right? Like, it's that one actually stings, because I just don't believe it. The more thought I put into it, I don't care what kind of shape he was in. Tiger Woods has shot 78 or 79 since he was about 13 years old.
It is a difficult thing to play with a touring pro and watch how easy they make the game look. Like, it is something else. Mm-hmm. It's so far by your golf ball, and then it's just wedged to 10 feet all day long, and it's just how many putts they make. They're just so good, it's scary.
Yeah, and again, I'm hoping what Tiger is doing here is planting the seeds for, you know, like, undersell and over-deliver, right? Like, hey, I'm never going to be in competitions again. Like, he basically said today, I'm not competing for majors anymore. It's over. And that very well could be true right now based on where his mindset is. I'm hoping in the next couple of years that is not the case. I hope
you don't think he's playing at this year's Masters coming up.
Well, now I'm conflicted, but I also know that he's a businessman. And I also know Nike would have told him, do not announce anything until we have a two-minute Spielberg production prepared to go out with a new clothing line, you know, tailor-made, calling him up saying, listen, Tiger, with the second year plan, we're launching these new Tiger irons or whatever it's going to be. So I think he's a smart enough businessman. I know he is. He's not wasting an announcement down at the Hero Challenge, you know, in late November. No chance.
I love that it's called the Hero Challenge.
I know. It's just perfect.
Hero. Yeah.
It's perfect.
Hero Challenge.
But I hope he's underselling and the plan is to over-deliver. But he was talking about his distance. He's like, man, it's been tough watching my ball just fall out of the air.
Dude, I don't believe that either. I think that's a crock of garbage.
You think
and
he's
I think he's hitting it
balls?
360 in the air right now. And he just, I don't know. He likes to send out a message that, oh, guys, you know, I got one leg and my other leg almost fell off and I only hit it 240 off the tee now. I think he likes the warfare of sending that message to the other guys on tour where it's like, this guy's broken down, he doesn't have it anymore. And I think somehow that adds fuel to his own fire. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not believing. You saw that golf swing. There's no way that golf swing with a driver in his hands is hitting it less than 300 yards.
I know. He was playing it up.
Like, a three-quarter swing driver is 300 yards, so I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Like, he was playing it up today. He's like, yeah, I'm playing the four. Like, he's playing the blue tees.
Tiger's
playing a 6,300-yard course now. You know, like, oh, I'll play the hybrids. What do you have?
And all the people in the press were just like, it's amazing the presence this guy has when he walks in the room. And that's what happens when you have a bunch of guys in the room that are just like this, and they're just in awe. You can literally say whatever you want, and everyone's like, yeah, they're just shaking their head. It's like, owns everybody. Mm-hmm. Owns.
Oh, the room was like, I think we probably have the audio of the one guy who just forgot his question.
Please play it.
Okay. Do you want to play this? Because
yes.
The question he asked was a really deep, you know, it was.
Dude, he had a great question, and then he absolutely soiled his pants right in the interview room. Play
okay,
it, Mulls.
Let's play it.
How realistic was amputation as an option?
What's that?
How realistic was amputation? Like, was that really discussed?
Yeah, it was on the table.
And my other question is, I forgot.
Chris Farley.
Remember when you were in
the Beatles?
Chris
Farley show. You remember when he won the Masters in 97? It's like, yes.
And Tiger wasn't having it, too. Like, Tiger wasn't having it. He was just staring.
How do you not have, like, even like a veteran would just kind of have a little something written down, wouldn't you, to kind of trigger, like, what to ask?
I think he got shook by Tiger's. He was staring at him. It was like he didn't want to talk about the accident. Yeah. He didn't want
and
to talk about
the recovery. And maybe him repeating the question rattled him.
Yes.
Play it one more time. We got to hear it again.
How realistic was amputation as an option?
What's that?
How realistic was amputation? Like, was that really discussed?
Yeah, it was on the table.
And my other question is, I forgot.
Oh, my God.
I forgot.
What do you think Tiger is thinking listening to that?
Well, Tiger.
Like a guy just flat out saying, I forgot.
I totally forgot. And you can't come up with anything spontaneously, like on the fly, ask him about something else, you know, throw something else out at him? I guess not. I mean, listen, Tiger in that world is as big as it gets, clearly. And he's not a guy that likes doing media. He's a guy he's ornery, and you could tell, like, I don't know if he didn't like the question, but
ornery
maybe
and very controlling,
it.
Hayes, and controls very controlling. The message.
Yes. So, I don't know. We'll
tough.
See.
I feel for that. I feel for the reporter, but he needs to be organized. Like, yeah, that's your job?
Yes.
Write a few questions down.
You got to be prepared for that. So, we'll get more into it in about 20, 25 minutes. Brad Lidge will join us as well. There's a conversation we want to get into about what the front office in Toronto with the Jays has established that really no other GM or front office has done here with this team in I would argue, 20, 25 years. We'll get into that in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So we're through 12 weeks in the NFL. Washington football team, now they're officially in a playoff spot. They're in a wild card spot with that win last night. And that Seattle team, that offense was awful. Russell Wilson was terrible last night. Terrible. And
he gone.
Well, here's I would be careful if I'm in Seattle. I think the belief is that Russ would want out, that he wants to go somewhere else, and that very well could be the case. But if I'm a Seahawk fan, man, I'm not selling this guy down the river. He's 32 years old. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's been consistently a top 7 or 8 quarterback in the league for the better part of a decade. I'm not moving on from him. Like, Pete Carroll, fine. New management, fine. But I'm not getting rid of the quarterback. No way. I'm doing everything I can to keep Russ.
Pete Carroll's been there forever.
Been there a long time. Had a lot of success.
Well, you get rid of Russ, it's a complete rebuild, isn't it?
It's a scorched earth, awful for years, potentially Detroit, potentially the Jets. That's why I'm just not doing that. Like, I think Russ has got a minimum 5-6 years left in him of being a high-end, elite-caliber quarterback.
You know that he holds the cards, though, man. He might be sick of this, might be sick of everything, and he just... That's Could the be. Land we live in, man. A guy wants a new, fresh start, he's going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And usually Seattle, it's like whatever they stumble, like in years past, they'd always get it back on track. Always.
Right.
It's not happening for them this year. Like,
no, this
terrible.
Year they're done, man. They're out there. It's them in Detroit. And the thing is, they don't have their first-round pick. They traded it to the Jets, I believe. You look at it right now, the Jets, Giants, and Eagles all have 2 picks in the top 10 based on trades. They've made trades over the last couple of years where they have their own picks because they're all 3 of them are bottom 10 teams in the league, and they have other teams' picks who also happen to be bottom 10 teams in the league, which is pretty astonishing when you think about it. So Seattle, they're not good. They're a bad team, a bad football team. They don't have their own first-round pick, which is likely going to be in the top 5. That stings, but I'm not moving on from Russ. If I'm Seattle, if I'm a Seahawk fan, I'm doing everything I can to make him happy and keep him
I know,
around.
But what if he says to you, I'm done?
That's
then
a
you're
different
screwed,
story.
Buddy.
That's right. A different story. Then you might be screwed. Although, you know, now Deshaun Watson, there's obviously a lot. It's a lot more complicated because of his personal life and because of the civil lawsuits, clearly. But Deshaun wanted out. He didn't go. You know, he hasn't gone anywhere yet.
There's
Aaron Rodgers
a lot more,
wanted out.
There's a lot different circumstances there Bud, when you're talking about Deshaun Watson.
For sure, but Rodgers allegedly wanted out. No, we'll reschedule. You know, we'll rework your contract, but you're not going anywhere. You know, we'll see. I don't know if Russ has the power to demand out. I think he kind of wanted out last year, and it didn't end up happening. But if he does and he doesn't show up, then you're dealing with a completely different story. Clearly, and maybe it is out of your control as a Seahawk fan, and maybe it's in the best interest to move on. And I think you'd get an absolute boatload for him. He's clearly rushed back from a finger injury. He can't grip the ball. He looks terrible. But this isn't the real Russell Wilson. I don't believe he's fallen off a cliff. I still think he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. He's just got to recover and get healthy.
Yeah, he's having a down year.
He's having a down year. Yeah,
it happens.
It happens to the best of us. So, yeah, and, you know, what it means for Washington, what it means for Taylor Heinicke, I have no idea.
Oh, you're a guy? He's not your guy anymore?
Well, he's my guy when I'm gambling on him, and I'm better. You know, I like his backstory. He was in the XFL. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I don't think this is the beginning of a guy who's going to turn into a legend. They were trying to sell that in the booth last night, and it's not the case. I mean, Heinicke is not going to turn into one of the 5 or 6 best quarterbacks in the league. I don't buy it for a second. But he's better than any alternative down there. And they're in a bad division. And, you know, with the playoffs expanding in the NFL, there's a lot of teams that get in. 7 teams get in. So
there's one QB in the league I'll just never give the benefit of the doubt to anymore. The guy that just keeps – it's Kirk Cousins, man. Like, he crushes your soul, that guy.
We didn't talk about him yesterday.
He was lining up in the wrong position.
The wrong centerman.
Behind the guard. Had to waste a timeout. That's the Dan Campbell of quarterbacking. Wasting timeouts. Like, the running back's yelling at him. You can see. You're like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like,
what
biggest
are you
moment.
Doing?
You're the ball's not there. You're behind a guard. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Somebody sent it to Overdrive and said Al's brother being a quarterback, and he's standing behind the wrong person. Like,
yeah, right.
Just that is tough. That is, tough. I mean, that's a lack of focus. Either that or getting distracted out there. I don't know.
It's one and the same, is it not? Getting distracted,
crazy.
Lack of focus, it's the same
I mean,
thing.
Tom Brady got distracted last year in Chicago, too. We didn't know what down it was, but that's Tom Brady. this guy doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
No,
agreed.
Kirk Cousins doesn't. Speaking of Al's brother, he's on Twitter and he's trying to make friends. He's trying to recruit Kara into his wheelhouse for information. He's got the information. It's not about people supplying him with information.
Well, Carlo and AK, like those guys are deep into the betting and all of that. Like you should have a stable of people that you could choose from. I would start with Kara, Carlo, and AK in them, and then move on. But
here's what maybe we'll try. We'll try it this week, okay? The selections that we have, we are going to form a team. And me and Al's brother, I'm the GM. He's the AGM. We get everyone's info, and then we make a selection.
Oh, a management team. I like that.
A management team. AK, Carlo, Kara, we're all on a team. And everyone has input in the selections.
Okay.
And Al's brother will be our Patrick Waugh, and he'll be the face of us, and he'll make the selection.
Okay. More on that in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.